You know, some of you may be here this evening and you might be asking yourself and might be wondering, why do Baptists believe what they do? What is a baptismal service all about? Well, I'm glad you have come along to see, actually. But what's the reason for it? When I lived in Europe, I was asked similar questions, probably at least once a week, along the lines of, what do you believe and why do you believe it? And my answer was inevitably, what does the Bible say about that? And that's a good thing for us all to think about. So, for our Bible reading this evening, we're going to concentrate on the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew. But before we do, if you don't have a Bible with you, someone might share with you. The verses will be on the screen. They're coming up now. I think I've got a thing here. Okay, Matthew, there we are. 28:16-20. We'll just read them now. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Let me fill you in the background, because these words were spoken by someone who had died, who was crucified, but who was alive again. And this is what he was saying. 2,000 years ago, Jesus was born into our world. And very soon we will be celebrating his birthday. Around 30 years of age, Jesus healed the sick. He raised the dead people to life. He fed thousands with, and we heard it this morning again, actually, he fed thousands of people with a small child's lunch, a few baps and a couple of fish. He walked in the water. He taught about God as if God was his father. He quoted from books written hundreds of years before as if they applied to him. People took notice. Wouldn't you, if you had been there? Wouldn't I? How can he do this? Why is he doing this? Who is he? Questions would have been going around in our minds and in our head, trying to find an answer. He even called God his father, and maintained that whoever saw him was in effect looking at God himself. God on the earth. We can't take it in, can we? Yet it's tremendous, tremendous truth that can affect your life and affect my life. A dozen men believed in him. Well, actually, there were a lot more. But there were those who followed him closely for 3 years. They were his followers. They were learning from him. They were his disciples. But then the crowd shouted, crucify him, crucify him. We don't want him to rule over us. He died. He was buried. Many of his friends deserted him. It was all over. No, it wasn't. No, it was not all over. And what we are doing today is because 3 days after Jesus was crucified, his friends saw him alive again. They couldn't believe it. Some were afraid at first, and you can understand that, can't you? Someone who had been crucified, someone who had been brought and placed in the tomb, and the stone had been rolled across the doorway. It's him, is it? He's alive again. Yes, it is. He showed them his hands where the nails had pierced them. He showed them his feet where the nails had pierced them. They couldn't believe it. But then they began to recognize him and listen to him for the next 6 weeks or so. In fact, as many as 500 people saw Jesus alive again, walking among them, talking to them. It's amazing. Of course it is amazing. And then those few weeks later, just before his followers watched him defy gravity and disappear into the clouds, Jesus told his followers these words. Are you a follower of Jesus this evening? If you are, then listen carefully, please. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. The last words of any relative are words we often cherish, are they not? The last words of famous people are written down, some of them very interesting. And the last words of Jesus, our Saviour and friend, as he spoke them just before going back to his Father God, are these. Just about the last words. Do we really take them seriously? I asked myself that as I was preparing for this evening. Do I take these words seriously? Do you take them seriously if you love Jesus? Here we find that Jesus gave us four commands, and you can pick them out easily, can't you? The first one is go. Go. And all four gospel writers refer to this. We've already read from Matthew, the first gospel in the New Testament. Luke writes that Jesus said to his disciples, and we find that in Luke chapter 24, in verse 46. I'll just read it for you. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. Well, that happened. Huh? Thus it is written, but it was written before. And the prophecy was fulfilled. Thus it is written that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that, listen to this, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. Forgiveness of sins. We who have sinned, and there's not one here this evening, I'm sure, who will put up their hand and say, I've never done anything wrong. I've never sinned against man or God. Is there? We have sinned, and here we read it, repentance and forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed to his nation, in his name to all the nations. And here we are 2,000 years later proclaiming the same message. That's what this good news is all about, and it's still being told. Repentance, forgiveness, getting right with God. Or don't you want to get right with God? Do you not really want to know that you're right with God? We are to go with this message to everyone. Luke proclaims it. Tell everyone about getting right with God. Mark, in his gospel as well, refers to it. It's great that we have the Bible in the New Testament, isn't it? I understand that one of the people getting baptized today never had a Bible until about a year ago. and they lived in the city of Lisburn. And what does that say about us? What does that say about me and you who love the Lord? What are we doing? We're not going. Go, says Jesus. We're not going, are we? We're too comfortable in our own holy huddle, we used to say. Let's waken up, folks, and go. And go. Jesus said it. We need to, and I need to, and I'm speaking to myself this evening as much as to anybody else, I need to begin to open my mouth more for Jesus. We can talk about a lot of things. We can talk about the weather, and we can talk about new cars, and we can talk about all sorts of things that are in the news. But do we take time to talk about Jesus? It's great when we invite people along. I was out in the town on Saturday, I think it was it Friday, and I was walking up there past Reed's shoe shop, and coming down was, actually I'd just gone before that and went and picked up some of the invitations for our international evening, so I had them in the pocket. And here coming down that hill, down to the health centre, was a Chinese lady with two children with her. I thought, I've seen her before. I said, would you like to have an invitation to our international evening? Excuse me. And she says, I was there last year. I said, yes, sir, I recognize you now. You were. You know something? Jesus said, go, and you don't have to go to China to go. The mission field is on our doorstep in many respects. I was walking up past the church in Tona the other day, the same day, actually. I wasn't walking, I was driving the car. But there's a guy going along and walking along. I thought, I'll screw down the window and say hello to him. He looked as if he didn't come from this country. So I said, excuse me, you'd like an invitation to our international evening? It's in 2 weeks' time. I remember now, it must have been Saturday. He said, this day, 2 weeks. And what is it? He says, well, I said, have a look at the back, see if you find your language, because I didn't know what nationality it was, really. I thought maybe it was from Sri Lanka or something. So he says, oh, that's mine there. He says, it's, I don't know what he said, was it Malamal or something? He says, I'm from India. I says, well, you'll be very welcome. Oh, this actually says welcome. You see, that's nice. It says welcome in their language. So that's lovely. And then I was walking down past the flower shop. There was another man from here, locally, and a woman in a pram, and she was obviously not from here. I said, excuse me, do you like an invitation? And he explained to me. He says, you know, the man says, you know, he says, 10 years ago we wouldn't have had all these foreigners in our town, but they're here, and that's part of the mission field. It's not at all, and we can invite that. She was from the Philippines, and we can invite them a lot. We can invite, but what I'm trying to get at is sometimes they won't come, will they? And you know that as well as I do, and some of you are from other churches and fellowships tonight, and you know that as well as I do. We can't get them in. So listen, we've got to have to go to them, or we've got to have to find ways that they want to come and be able to teach them the Word of God. Go and tell everyone about getting right with God. Mark in his Gospel puts it like this, Mark 16, go into all the world and proclaim the Gospel to every creature, no exceptions. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. That's a tragedy of those who do not believe, isn't it? Condemnation, separation from God forever. For Jesus himself said, where I am, you cannot come. I wonder, could that be you tonight? And Jesus is whispering in your ear, I'm with my Father God in heaven, but you can't come. How sad. In John's Gospel, we read of the risen Christ entering a room on the first Easter Sunday, even though the doors were locked. And in John 20, we read how he showed them his hands and his side, signs of the crucifixion. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them, peace be you. Here it is again. John said it too. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. We need to listen to the words. All four gospel writers tell us to go. And secondly, we are to make disciples or followers. We will pray, we will talk, we will preach in whatever way we can, and we will use different methods for the same message. We will call everyone to follow Jesus. You know, in today's society, if you want to make disciples, it's not enough to say, come on, follow Jesus, because some people are going to say, who's he? Or they have a false picture of who he is. It's not enough to say, repent and be saved. You know what Peter did? He preached a sermon first, and then he said, repent and be saved. He explained, first of all, about God and about Jesus, and then he said, repent and be saved. So today we have a lot of explaining to do in our society, and for the people who live around us, and the people that we meet every day, and the people that we work with, we have a lot of explaining to do because of the misunderstanding and the false picture of God and Christ that they have. So depending on who our audience is, we need to do a lot of explaining. To say nothing of being living examples that will attract people to Jesus. So let's make disciples by explaining to people from the Bible who God is, who Jesus is, what repentance is, what forgiveness means, and what a difference Jesus can make and will make in this life and for eternity. Thirdly, he said, baptize. Baptize who? Baptize them. Baptize the disciples. Baptize those who have started to follow Jesus. Why are 8 people getting baptized shortly? We had a lovely little time with them for 3 Sundays, about 3/4 of an hour each, and each Sunday. We studied with them 3 short sessions, and after them we'll just run that through for you in a shortened version. But they're getting baptized as Jesus said they should. As Jesus said we should. And what comes after baptism? You know, if you read in Acts in chapter 2, you read that all those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Isn't that tremendous? And in the following verses, we read how these people who had come to trust in Jesus Christ, who had listened to the message, whose heart, the Holy hearts, the Holy Spirit had opened, what happened? They committed themselves to each other as a New Testament church. They came together for teaching and fellowship, to remember their Savior with the symbols of bread and wine, and to pray together. They did that. They shared with each other too in a practical way where there was a need. And they saw God at work in miraculous ways. And verse 47 of chapter 2 reads, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Wouldn't you long for that once more? Every day, people finding Jesus and being changed by him. I hope you understand now a little of why we as Baptists believe what we do. Jesus is the message we preach. Each week, Christians have the opportunity to remember our Lord at the table of remembrance in the symbols of bread and wine. And church membership is for baptized believers. They were added to them. Finally, teach. Jesus said, go make disciples, baptize and teach. Not only do we need to know what Jesus commanded and taught, context makes it clear that we need to teach his baptized disciples to do something. Did you notice that? Some of us are very fond of teaching, and we could teach all day and all night and all Sunday and all midweek, and hold on a minute. That's not really what Jesus said, was it? He said, teaching them to observe, teaching them to obey, teaching them to observe. Because if you're a disciple of Christ, you will want to, and you should obey what he is telling you. Of course, you need to know the teaching. Yes, you do. But are you going to put it into practice? That's the question. That's the acid test of a real follower of Jesus. There are many things that we Christians hear and know to be true, but are we willing to put them into practice? What tremendous words of our Lord to his disciples then and to us today. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you.